Tonight's Bible reading is from Lamentations chapter 3, verses 1 to 27. I am the man who has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He has driven me away and made me walk in the darkness rather than light. Indeed, he has turned his hand against me again and again all day long. He has made my skin and my flesh grow old and has broken my bones. He has besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and hardship. He has made me dwell in darkness like those long dead. He has walled me in so I cannot escape. He has weighed me down with chains. Even when I call out or cry for help, he shuts out my prayer. He has barred my way with blocks of stone. He has made my paths crooked. Like a bear lying in wait, like a lion in hiding, he dragged me from the path and mangled me and left me without help. He drew his bow and made me the target for his arrows. He pierced my heart with arrows from his quiver. I became the laughingstock of all my people. They mock me in song all day long. He has filled me with bitter herbs and sated me with gall. He has broken my teeth with gravel. He has trampled me in the dust. I have been deprived of peace. I have forgotten what prosperity is. So I say, my splendor is gone and all that I have hoped for from the Lord. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I remember them, I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. This is God's word.
There's a lot to look at in this passage, and we're going to sort of see a lot throughout the book of Lamentations, but hopefully we'll see some great beauty as well when we focus at a particular part in this passage later on in the sermon. But before we jump into it, I would like to pray. Let's pray together. Father, we do pray for your help tonight to see what your word is saying to us. We want to see that the hope that is in you, the faithful God that you are, we really do need your word, God, to lift us up, to strengthen us. We need you, God. We need to see who you are. And we just pray that tonight this passage, this part of your word would do that for us. We ask that you would be preparing us now, helping us and readying us to understand what you are saying and helping us to apply it into our lives, God. And we desire this because you are worthy of glory. You deserve every part of our life, and we want to give it all to you, God, and we want to trust our lives into your hands and live our lives for you. And we just ask that tonight you would grow us more in this. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Death was walking toward a man who stopped him and asked, "What are you going to do?" Death then said, "I'm going to kill 10,000 people today." And the man said, "That's horrible." Death said, "That's the way it is. That is what I do." As the day passed, the man warned everyone he could of Death's plan. And at the end of the day, he met Death again. And he said to Death, "You said you were going to kill 10,000 people, and yet 100,000 people died." Death explained, "I only killed 10,000 people. Worry, fear, and self-trust killed the others." Worry and fear can come into our lives from stress, from the burdens of life, pain, turmoils that we face, pressures and difficulties that we go through. And it's one of the biggest problems that we can face in our lives because it is a distrust in God. And it tends to get worse as we get older and its destruction is sure. One guy says this, "Worry affects the circulation, the heart, the glands, the nervous system, and profoundly affects our health." And another person, Corrie ten Boom, says, knowing the destructive force of worry, says this: worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow, it empties today of its strength. Its destruction starts like a trickle in our mind that forms into a channel, eventually forming into a grand canyon where all other thoughts drain into. We all face stress in our life. We all face burdens and difficulties that we all go through, different turmoils that we go through. And the temptation when this all happens is to worry. The temptation is to fear and then trust in our own abilities in those moments. But today I want us to be freed from these burdens, freed from worry, stress, the pain and the turmoil that we can have in life, and instead to have peace and hope in God. If we don't come to understand the message of our passage today, then we will rely on ourselves. We are going to be burdened with things and we're going to rely on ourselves. We're going to put those things on ourselves and it's going to shatter us and break us. And even worse, if the message that we look at today in this passage isn't true in our lives, then we will one day ultimately perish eternally under God's punishment because we have not trusted in God's mercy. And instead, we've trusted our own abilities to get through. I hope this isn't you tonight. For me, I long to be freed from the oppression that worry can bring, from the damage of distrust in God. And to do that, we're going to look at this passage in Lamentations, in the book of Lamentations. So make sure you're open there. In Lamentations, we see through this book, we see great pain. We see trouble, burdens, sadness and lament, which is an expression of sorrow, regret and grief. You would have heard it in our chapter as Jeremiah was speaking. It's written by the prophet Jeremiah. And it's written as he responds to all the destruction that has come upon Jerusalem just after 587 BC, when a siege happened and they were taken into exile. Israel was God's chosen nation. They were God's chosen people. And God was faithful to them, but then they rejected God again and again. And they ignored his warnings again and again. And so God, in keeping with his promises, he sends them into exile. He sends them to other nations, away from their homeland. What happened was the Babylonians took hold of Israel, took hold eventually of Jerusalem, the political, spiritual, economical capital of Israel. They destroyed it. They burned it. And they took many of its people into captivity. Children were taken from their parents. Wives were taken from their husbands. Families in Israel were torn apart. And the spiritual life as well of Israel was torn down as the temple was destroyed. All would have seemed hopeless in this moment. And because of all of that which occurred, lamenting and mourning follows in the people. And this is the situation of destruction and pain and suffering and torment, which is the backdrop for Lamentations and what it is writing about. And so this book, Lamentations, it is addressing the needs of those who have survived the fall of Jerusalem, who have survived the exile. And it is written addressing what they need to cope in this suffering, in their pain, in their grief, and the consequences of what their sin has brought. And yes, this is the consequences of what their sin has brought. Have a look at chapter 1, verse 5. It says this, chapter 1, verse 5. It's talking about the city of Jerusalem here. And it says, her foes have become her masters. Her enemies are at ease. The Lord has brought her grief because of her many sins. Her children have gone into exile, captive before the foe. And then as well in chapter 2 verse 17 we see there how God is bringing this punishment in keeping with his promises because Israel has disobeyed him. But how do they cope with this? They're facing severe consequences for their sin. And how do they cope for this? Well, they mourn and lament over it, over their sin and its consequences, and they lay it bare before God. And throughout the book, this is what we see. We see severe mourning, we see groaning, we see suffering and loneliness, weeping. In chapter 1, verse 3, we read this. After affliction and harsh labor, Judah has gone into exile. She dwells among the nations. She finds no resting place. All who pursue her have overtaken her in the midst of her distress. Here we see exile. The exile has been brought about. We see as well later on in chapter 1 that they, the people, are trading treasures for food and they are groaning for food. We see at the beginning of chapter 2 that this is the fierce anger of the Lord that has been brought upon them. Women are eating their children. The young and old lie dead in the streets. Have a look at chapter 2, verse 21. It says, young and old lie together in the dust of the streets. My young men and maidens have fallen by the sword. You have slain them in the day of your anger. You have slaughtered them without pity. As you summoned to a feast day, so you summoned against me terrors on every side. In the day of the Lord's anger, no one escaped or survived. Those I cared for and reared, my enemies has destroyed. Here we see the anger of the Lord is upon them because of their sin. And as well, one other horrible thing that we see because of the consequences of their sin, we see in chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, it says this, my eyes fail from weeping. I am in torment within. My heart is poured out on the ground because my people are destroyed, because children and infants faint in the streets of the city. And then chapter 2, verse 12. They say to their mothers, where is bread and wine? As they faint like wounded men in the streets of the city, as their lives ebb away in their mother's arms. All of this that we're looking at, and all of this that this book talks about in Lamentations, all these horrible things are because of their sin. Their sin has brought this. And there is no reason why we shouldn't face the same horrible things for our sin. All the damage and the destruction we see here, we should see that our sin is fully deserving of that and there are no excuses. And yet, in all this pain, in all the turmoil, in the middle of the book of Lamentations, in chapter 3, verse 21, Jeremiah is able to call something to mind and have hope. What is it? Have a look. Chapter 3, verse 21. Amidst all this pain and turmoil, suffering and seeing the consequences of sin, Jeremiah says this. Chapter 3, verse 21. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. We desperately need this in our lives. When we are surrounded by sin, pain, trouble, anxiety, suffering, turmoil, we need to trust in a God who is like that, a God who is like this. We have a good God, a faithful God, and we need to rest in this God, trust in this God, and put our hope in him. Life is hard, we've seen already in this book, because of sin as well and many other things, but God is good. This is the message of Lamentations. Life is hard, but God is good. And this is how a woman called Suzanne Shelley summed up her situation when her son was born at 8:20 p.m. on November the 22nd, 1991, and then died at 8:22 p.m., 2 minutes later. And immediately after, when she was talking to the nurse, she said, God is good. And then later on, her husband, in a talk talking about this, said at this meeting and summed up the meeting with these words, life is hard, but God is good. This is the message of Lamentations. This is the message of this book that we need to come to understand and trust in to avoid being overcome by life's burdens and to avoid trusting in ourselves and our own abilities and being worried and anxious because of that and to instead trust in our God. We need to understand this message. But also another key lesson in this book that we will learn, and I'm going through a few key lessons overviewing this book, before we get into this key passage in chapter 3. Another key lesson, though, that I want us to see is that we learn from this book is that to cope with suffering, to cope with pain, sin, we don't just need to hear the words God is faithful, that God is loving, that God is good. We don't just need to hear that to cope with the times when life is hard. No, instead, most of this book is being honest about the nature of sin, the nature of pain, the torment of it all, the suffering that they are going through. This book shows the feelings and the thoughts that they are going through and the lament that can come with it. And this is how Jeremiah and the Israelites deal with their sin and deal with these hard times that they are going through. They lay it all bare before God. They lay it straight before him and they dwell on it and mourn over it. And then this eventually prepares them to cry out to God to more clearly know his faithfulness. Lamentations, it gives a clear picture of sin, and that is so God's faithfulness will be better grasped. And we need this too, because too often we can just hear the words, God is faithful, or God is good, and we can sing them as well, and they just brush over us and mean nothing to us in our lives. I know for me, it's when I face trouble and pain, sin, suffering, that those words will begin to sink in. Seeing sin's effects help us savour our Saviour. That's when we will cherish our Saviour, when we see the effects of sin. When we see the pains of life, then we will cherish God's faithfulness. And for me, the past pain of death or different trials that have been around me have heightened my appreciation of God's love more and more. And we know this. It's in the hard times, isn't it, that we learn the greatest lessons about God. And as well, the moments when God shows me my pride or my selfishness, it's in those moments that I come to see more clearly God's faithfulness to me, a sinner like that, who can do such things. When I fail to speak to people properly, it's in moments like that, when God breaks me down and helps me see my sin, that I then appreciate his faithfulness. And that is what is happening in Lamentations. So the challenge is, do not brush your sin off quickly. Do not just brush it off quickly and the guilt that it brings and its consequences. Because when we do, we're robbing ourselves of a great experience of enjoying God's faithfulness. Don't just brush it off, but instead mourn over it, recognize it, dwell on it, and let it heighten your experience of God's faithfulness. Just like Jesus says in Luke chapter 7, at the end of chapter 7, he says, those who are forgiven much will love much. And it's talking about loving him. It's the sinner who washes his feet. It's in response to that, and that she loves him much because she has been forgiven much. And Jesus says as well, but those who love little have been forgiven little. If we don't see how much we have been forgiven, if we don't see our sin, we are going to love God little. So we need to see how great our sin is. We need to see how great God's forgiveness is so that we will then love him and cherish his faithfulness. Seeing sin's effects helps us savour our Saviour. But finally, also a key lesson we see in Lamentations as we overview it a bit, a key lesson is that we need to realize that in affliction, in trouble, God's aim is to show mercy and grow our trust in him. God wants us to go through affliction and trouble so that he will be able to show us mercy and grow our trust in him. He isn't aiming in those troubles and trials to breed in us worry and anxiety. That is not what he wants. But he wants a deep trust and hope in God to be formed in us. And in Lamentations, we see people that are in turmoil, that are going through pain, but God wants them to have hope, to hope in him, to trust in him. And that's what we desperately need. Whether we're trapped in sin and its guilt, and we're on a path where we're going to pay the punishment for that, whether we're like that, or whether we are burdened in life, because of the pain, because of the turmoil that we can often face, what we need in those moments is hope. If we're on a path of eternal punishment, we need hope. We need eternal hope. And if we are burdened by anxieties of life, we need hope. And this is what this passage shows us. So how can we have hope? This is the help we need to face worry, to face those times when we're tempted to trust in ourselves. How can we have hope? Well, let's look at Lamentations chapter 3, and we're going to dig at this for a little bit and see some of these key lessons. Firstly, in verses 1 to 18, Jeremiah here is giving a personal description of how he feels as a result, after the result and consequences of sin. He's giving a description of how he feels, and here we see Jeremiah is honest about how he feels rejected by God. He is honest. Like I said before, a key lesson we see in this book is we don't just need to hear that God is faithful, but we need to actually dwell on our sin, be honest with God in prayer as well. And we see Jeremiah doing that in this verse. And then in verses 19 to 20, we see Jeremiah remembering the affliction that has come about because of all the destruction they have been through, the suffering. He describes it as bitterness, all of the things that have come from sin. He remembers all of this. And at this deep moment of despair, the deepest moment of despair in this book, whilst feeling all this pain, we then come to our passage. And Jeremiah is able to call this to mind and have hope. In verse 21, it's like he's talking to himself. It's like he's preaching this message to himself about God. And this is what we need as well to have hope. So what does he recall? How can we have hope in God? Well, firstly, in verse 22, we read this. Verse 22, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. And then verse 23, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Just at the end of verse 23, great is your faithfulness. That there is summing up the message that has been before in verse 23 and 22. It's summing up what has been said. Great is your faithfulness. God's love in verse 22, his compassions or mercy. And then it says they, referring to those both those things, are new every morning. And then it sums it up in verse 23, great is your faithfulness. Those things are God's faithfulness. And here we see, firstly, in verse 22, how can we have hope? How should we hope in God? Firstly, remember God's faithfulness is forever. Now, if you have some other versions besides the NIV, you will notice a bit of a difference. In the NIV, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. Whereas in the ESV or some other translations, it will read something like, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. And this is just because there's some different manuscripts here. And the manuscript evidence is probably a little stronger for what the ESV does. And also the translation, the verse, the second line of the verse would then match the first if it was taken to be that, what the ESV does, which is a common practice in Hebrew poetry for the first line to reaffirm the second line. But nevertheless, the point here, what matters is the point is that God's faithfulness is forever. God's faithfulness is forever. It is lasting. It is either saying it never ceases or that we are not consumed because God's faithfulness never ends. Either way, the point is God's faithfulness is forever. And we need to remember this. And then in verse 22 as well, we see here God's covenant love being talked about. When it talks about his great love, in terms of how the NIV translates it there, that's the Hebrew word hesed, his steadfast love, his covenant love. That's the idea here. When God goes into a covenant with his people, his love is lasting. It is steadfast. He is faithful in his love. And then as well, the second part of verse 22, we see that the mercies or the compassions of the Lord never fail. The mercies or compassions of the Lord never fail. They last. Though we are unfaithful in our lives and in how we live, God is faithful. He keeps his word. He keeps his promises. And his love His mercy, his compassion endures. What a blessing to have a God like this. This is how we can have hope. By having a God that is faithful, and his faithfulness lasts forever. But also we see something else about God's faithfulness. How can we have hope in God? How can we hope in God amidst all the trouble, the pain? How can we hope in God? Well, we see in verse 23 that God's faithfulness is fresh. Remember, God's faithfulness is fresh. Verse 23 says, "They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." So summarizing just what he said about God's love, about his compassions and his mercies, it says, "They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." God's faithfulness is fresh. It is new every day. The Lord provides every day and every hour what we need. He doesn't just give us something that he expects for us to prolong into eternity and to last us forever. No, he gives us new mercies every day. There's a hymn called Day by Day, and it clearly displays the message of this verse. It says this, it says, "Day by day and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Every day the Lord himself is near me with a special mercy for each hour." That's the message here in this verse. Even every hour he is providing mercies that we need, the mercies that we need, the compassion that we need. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13, it says that God does not test us beyond what we are able to bear. And he doesn't expect us to find all the resources for a future trouble in that moment. He doesn't expect us to find all the resources for trouble that we are going through in ourselves. Instead, he gives new mercies. He gives new mercies each day. Like Matthew chapter 6 verse 34 says, have a listen. It says, "Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious about itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." This is exactly what Lamentations is saying. New mercies are going to be given every day, Lamentations says. And so the trouble of that day is enough. We don't need to worry about the next day. We shouldn't be anxious about tomorrow. For me, I often, when I hear a story of a missionary or someone who has that death threat before him and the gun is held at his head, and I put myself in that situation and ask, would I be faithful like him? And that can be a good thing to do for us to check. Would I be faithful like that man there who stands strong in the face of death because of his faith? And that can be a helpful thing to do, but what I need to remember in those moments when I think that, I need to remember that God will give me the mercy that I need in that moment to face that trouble. His mercies are new every day. He will give me the mercies that I need in the moment that I need them. And we need to realize that. Not trying to gain all the resources now. Not trying to sort out all the future problems that we are going to face now. But instead, realizing he will give new mercies for that moment that is coming. We need to be doing that. And also, we need to remember that God doesn't give mercies today to face those future troubles. He isn't giving those mercies now to face those future troubles. He's going to one day give them. That's what verse 23 is saying. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. They are new every morning. The compassions or the love, the mercies that he's just talked about are new every morning. But instead, we have a tendency, don't we, to look ahead and try and find all the resources right now for the troubles that we're about to face tomorrow or in the future. We want to find the resources now, but we need to remember God will give the mercy that we need in that future trouble that we will go through. And I need to hear this. I need to hear this because I can so easily be crushed by worries, by depending and wanting the strength now to face future things that I know are coming. We can do this. We can want the strength now, and we can start in that moment depending on our strength and not God's, because He hasn't provided the mercies for that those future troubles. And we can put all the weight on ourselves, and this is why we worry, because we're trusting in ourselves to get us through something that's going to happen or may not even happen in the future. And one example for me was when I was back at our old church and we were running a sound system through our roof, and I was running some cables through there, and I was starting to get a bit quicker as I was running the cables back and forth, and I was stepping on, as you do when you're working in the roof with electrical stuff or putting up stuff in the roof, you're standing on the bits of wood, you're not standing on the plaster so you don't fall through. But eventually there was a bunch of cables on one of the planks, and I stood on it, the cables slipped a bit, and so did I, and I slipped through and fell through the roof. And I fell through probably, would have been like here, right above where, pretty close to where the front stage was. And it was a Thursday night, I think. And straight away I was thinking, what am I going to do? How am I going to get this sorted in time for Sunday? We can't have a hole in the roof for church. And I was thinking through all these things, and I wasn't sleeping as well. I had to get a plasterer organized, and then I had to get it painted, and I had a busy weekend coming up. What was I going to do? And I was worrying. And I was trying to find the resources in that moment to try and get done what I needed to get done the next day or the day after. Now, I had to plan, obviously. I had to call people and organize things. But I was putting the burdens on myself rather than trusting in God that He would provide the mercy that I need. He provides the strength that I need each day. And it's not my strength that I'm dependent on. And even now, there's things that can just clutter my life, that can bring me down, that can put such weight on me at times. I can feel the weight of these things, different things, and I can be paralyzed by that at times. But instead, I need to have an utter dependence on God rather than putting it on myself, thinking that it's dependent on my strength, on my abilities. Instead, I need to be dependent on God. Like Psalm 127 says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers labor in vain." I need to be trusting in God to build, to work in my life. I must depend on His strength. Otherwise, all that I do is useless. And I know when, and hopefully you know as well, when we do this, when this happens, we can feel the peace of God. And we can feel the weight off us, the worry and anxiety off us, the pain and the turmoil that can bring in our lives can be off us when we do this. In particular, over the last few weeks, this passage in Philippians, chapter 4, verse 6, you can turn there if you want. Chapter 4, verse 6 has really helped me. It says, you probably know it, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 7 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." This is something I have often had to tell myself and remind myself of that idea. Even though I have a busy day ahead, when I'm busy with a full day, if I am dependent on God, I will leave time to pray to Him, to rely on Him. This is what we need to do in our troubles as well, to rest on God, to rely on Him, to lay on Him the burdens that we're feeling, the weight that we're feeling in every moment, to have a close relationship with Him where every thought, every struggle, every worry, we're talking to Him about. Because He can give what we need. He can give the new mercies that we need in those moments that we're facing. And when we do that, we can have the peace of God. That weight can be taken off us. And I have felt this as I lay my burdens onto Christ. And I'm sure it's the same for you. And this is what we need to be doing. Having that intimate relationship with God. Putting it onto Him rather than weighing ourselves down. Trusting our abilities. Putting all the weight on us, worrying so much about things that are not in our control. As 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, "Cast all your anxiety on Him," or your worries on Him, because he cares for you. Our God cares for us. He will give us new mercies that we need in the moment that we need them. So, when you're up late, or you get up early, worrying about the day ahead, maybe it's going to be tonight, worrying about holiday club, or worrying about work, worrying about family, something that's going on, worrying about money, a tough situation that you're going to face. We need to know that God will give us the mercy that we need for those things. And that should free us from the worry. That should free us from depending on ourselves, having a trust in ourselves, and should free us and enable us to have a peace as we trust in God. So don't ever get caught by the endless thinking of the what if questions. What if this happens? What if that happens? All these possible things, what if that happens? Can't we do that so often? Don't get caught by that. The future isn't in our hands. As well, don't jump to conclusions and blow up a situation to take so that it takes control of your mind. We can so often do that and it burdens our minds and we keep thinking on it, worrying about it. And don't always look at a problem as well and just think the worst case scenario about that problem. Don't get to a problem and then just stress and fret trying to figure out how you are going to solve it. How can I solve this? What can I do? This is something I can struggle with at times. But instead, we need to be dependent, as I've been saying, on God's strength. Because these ways of thinking like this, is going to drain you. You're going to feel the weight. It is going to pull you down. I feel it when I do this. And it is so damaging in our lives because most importantly, it is a distrust in God that he is the strong one, that he is the faithful one, that he gives us the mercies that we need. It's a distrust in God when we are like that and putting it all on ourselves. As I've been saying, God wants to be relied on. He wants to be the one who is shown to be strong. And he wants us to remember that he gives the mercies that we need in the moments we need them. So trust in him and seek from him what we need. Knowing God's mercies should free us from worry. And it would have done this for those who were in exile, who had just faced in Lamentations all these trials, these pains, all the consequence of their sin. Knowing this would have freed them from the worries. What is God going to do? Are we going to get back to our nation again? Are we going to be able to restore the temple? Are we going to go back to Jerusalem? Knowing that God provides new mercies every day, that he is a faithful God, would have freed the Israelites from all of this, all of those that way of thinking, and it should do the same in us. So how can we hope in God? How should we hope in God? Remember that God's faithfulness is forever. It lasts. It cannot be consumed. It is forever. It is fresh, new every morning. And finally, it is a foundation for hope. Have a read with me, verse 24 to 27. Chapter 3, verse 24 to 27. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. When it says there in verse 24, the Lord is my portion. The idea of portion in the Old Testament is just to show that something belongs to someone. And here by portion, Jeremiah is showing that the Lord, his God, is all that he has. The Lord is all that he has, all that he needs. And it's because of this that he has hope in God. Surely God can be a foundation for hope. And this is because why? His great faithfulness, his mercies and compassions that are new every morning. This is what we need and this is what we must cherish and hope in. Our God who is like this. And if you don't have this, then you need to get it. You need to get this. You need to get God's mercy if you don't have it. If you don't know God to be faithful in your life, you need to get it. As verse 25 and 26 say, the Lord is good to those whose hope is in him. To the one who seeks him, it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. If you don't have that, if you don't have his mercy, the salvation that he gives, then you need to get it. Don't stop seeking it until you get it. Plead with God until you get the faithfulness, the mercy, the salvation that only he can give. Don't stop until you get that. And verse 28 as well, 28 and 29 say, "Let him sit alone in silence, for the Lord has laid it on him. Let him bury his face in the dust. There may yet be hope." The same challenge. Do these things. Sit in silence. Bury your face in the dust, the idea of mourning over your sin. There may yet be hope to have a faithful God in your life, to have his mercy in your life. If you do not have that, seek it and plead with God to give it to you until you get it. God is faithful, so cry out for him to be faithful to you, to save you from your sin. Jesus has saved us from the horrors of our sin, from the punishment that we deserve. And we are able to enjoy God's faithfulness and his forgiveness because of this. So why won't you come to that? Why won't you get that? Seek that from God. I can't understand why people would reject that. But as well, remember that Jesus Christ has come. He came to save sinners. He came to save sinners. And we need to see that we are needy. We need to see that we are needy, that we are desperate sinners before God. And this is what, in Lamentations, we see the people do. They see their sin before God, how they are needy before God, their desperate state of sin. And that means that they are able to then repent, turn to God, and cherish his faithfulness, his mercy and forgiveness. And we need to do this too, if we haven't got this. May God open your eyes to your sin so that you would be able to cherish your Savior, Jesus Christ. And don't wait, as I've been saying, do not wait to do this. Don't wait, because what does verse 27 as well say? It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. It is good for man to bear the yoke while he is young. The idea is to bear the suffering and the pain while you are young will be far easier. And as well, to come to Jesus now and trust in him now will be far easier than when you get older. You need to grow now in your relationship with him. That is so important that you grow now. It will never get easier. To work on it now is important. To know now and trust now that God gives the mercies that you need in the moment that you need them. Do this now. Set up key habits now in your life. Set them up now where you're praying to God and entrusting yourself to him, dependent on his strength, not your abilities. Do that now. It'll be far easier. Bear the yoke while you are young. And finally, remember that if God is willing to give us his son, he is willing to give us his son to take the punishment for our sin so that we can be forgiven. He was willing to give us his son for that. We can know he will care for us. He is good to us if he is willing to do that. We can trust in him that he paid that great price for our sin. And so he is able now to give us new mercies. He was able to pay that price of sin, and he did it now so that he can continue to give us new mercies, continue to care for us, continue to show his faithfulness in our lives. God has done that, and we have seen that in his son, and we can be confident that he is continuing to do that and able to keep doing that. So we have a God that can be trusted. Life is hard, as we said at the beginning. Life is hard, but God is good. It is hard and is tough in life, in the midst of pain, in trouble, in the turmoil that we face. It's so easy to then put it on ourselves, to worry, to trust in our own abilities. But instead, we can have the peace of God, rather than putting it on ourselves, the weight that we can bear at times, we can have peace with God because we have a faithful God. In the pain, in the turmoil, we have a choice to either rest in God and rely on him, or to bear all the weight of it ourselves and to trust in our own abilities. And that will one day, that distrust in God and putting it on ourselves will one day result in destroying us now in this life, pulling us down in this life, but and ultimately in the life to come. If we have that distrust in God, we will face the punishment eternally for our sin rather than putting it onto God. We need to rely on God. He is a faithful God and he can be trusted. So may we break that bondage that can be in our lives. May we break the burdens of worry, of anxiety, of self-trust that can be in our lives with the promises of this passage. And as we close, let's read this passage again and remind us of these promises that God gives us to overcome the times when life is hard, the times when we burden ourselves with so much, the times when we see our sin and the great consequences that it causes and brings, all these times that can absolutely destroy us and break us. May we remember the promises of God and that God is a faithful God. Let's read verse 21 to 24 of chapter 3. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions or mercies never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. He is all that we have. He is all that we need. Therefore, I will wait for him. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you are a merciful God, that you do show compassion, and you show it every day. You show it in the moments that we need them, God. We thank you for this lesson because it means we can trust in you. We don't need to trust in ourselves, in our own abilities, which we so often do, but rather we can trust in you, in your faithfulness, in your strength to work in our lives. We just pray, God, that you would help us to do this, that you would free us from the worry, the anxiety, the self-trust that can so quickly fill us, and that instead we would look to you and be trusting in you, reliant on you, because you are a faithful God, a powerful God, a merciful God, and these things you can show forever. We pray, God, that you would help us to have hope in you. And for any here tonight that don't yet hope in you for their salvation, that haven't sought for your mercy, that haven't pleaded for you to be faithful to them and to forgive them of their sin, God, we pray that you would tonight cause them to do this. Send them home, and may you all cause them to all night plead with you until you give them the mercy that they desperately need. We just pray that you would save those who are not saved here tonight. And we pray for us who are, that you would give us again a confidence, give us a confidence of your faithfulness, so that we would trust in you even when life is hard. We pray this for your glory. Amen.